Hello and welcome to episode number 2 of the Eggers Gallery Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Eggers. Our show recognizes and celebrates visual artists who exhibit their art at the Eggers Gallery. If you would like to exhibit with us, keep your eyes peeled for our calls to artists at eggersgallery.com. Today's episode is an interview with visual artist Brian McClear. And now let's take you for a peek inside the artist's studio.
Great. Good afternoon. My name is Brian McClear. I am an artist working in West Hartford, Connecticut. I've been working for about 20 years as an artist, and I'm happy to be here answering some questions today, Michael.
Well, great. Thank you for joining us, Brian. It's a pleasure to have you here with us participating in the Machinery Show at the Eggers Gallery. For our first question today is, how is your personality reflected in your work?
I really appreciate people that spend a lot of detail. I can appreciate people that, you know, are focused on hyper-realism. I appreciate that talent. Myself, I like things that are a little bit more immediate. I like that kind of immediate feedback. So myself, personally, for my style, it's a little bit more painterly. I enjoy getting right into a painting, sketching with the paint. I am fascinated with texture. I like the feel, the paint, the sense of the brush stroke. So that's probably how my personality is kind of reflected in my work more than anything else, is a little bit more immediacy to how I get to the canvas as opposed to others that might spend a little bit more time in the, you know, very hyper-realism and detailed. I just don't personally have the patience for that myself, although I can certainly appreciate that.
That's great. What would you say inspires or influences your art?
For me, I have always loved objects, to be honest with you. Objects, textures, found objects. I've also, you know, when I went to art school, I really found a love for the figure. So I'm kind of straddled the fence a little bit between being really drawn to figure painting, being really drawn with the human form, and still life, to be honest with you, because, you know, whether it's shape, texture, how things fit together, how light plays against things. So really, influences are really kind of diverse between finding someone with an interesting face, interesting position, that posture, the pose, or really just coming across something that has an interesting texture to it. Really, I can really find almost anything.
Well, when you come across a creative block, how do you overcome those?
You know, I think that for the most part, creative blocks used to happen for me a lot more. I'd say when I was younger, I was more worried about the outcome. I was more worried about doing a finished piece. I've spent all this money on a canvas. I've stretched the canvas. What am I going to paint next? Now I'm a little less worried about the outcome. I keep a sketchbook of thumbnails, little quick sketches of things that are interesting to me. So I tend to keep a few more things going than I used to, and have a running list. And I try not to think too much about what I'm going to paint next. I just kind of what I happen to be interested in. So I put a little less importance on worrying so much about what I'm going to be working on as opposed to sketching what I find interesting every day. So always sketching so that there's always something to kind of go to in the list. So I have something to go through. That sketchbook I found is very helpful.
Yeah, that sounds like a great tool. What would you say makes art good to you?
For me, my own work or when I'm looking at other people's work, what makes art good to me is it's almost like saying, what kind of music do I like? I like all kinds of artwork, you know, abstract all the way through hyper-realism. It doesn't really matter. For me, I like being able to see that hand of the artist, that kind of sincerity. I think everyone's taken a look at artwork that, you know, where there is some emotional engagement, some sincerity of the artist involved. Even if they're very new artists and they may just be learning, you can always have that sense when they are really sincere about their artwork. And for me, that's for the most important thing is whether it's abstract or hyper-realism, it doesn't really matter. I like it all. It's just really what the artist brings to it that makes the most importance for me.
Variety is the spice of life. How do you know when a work is finished? When you come into the end, how do you know you're at the close?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I've found a great answer to that. I'm not sure that these days I treat it a little bit differently, that the finish line's a little bit gray for me. I've tended to start working on multiple pieces at the same time. So when I'm done working on a piece or I don't really feel like I have anything more to add at the moment, I'll set it aside and move on to another canvas or move on to another piece. I may come back to that a couple weeks later when I'm looking at it and go, you know what, this is, you know, in hindsight, this is something I'll work on. That's a lot different than what I used to do when I was younger. When I was younger, you know, I risked overworking a piece, trying to get to a finish, you know, air quotes these days. You know, if I'm done working on a piece for the day, I feel like, you know, this is it. I don't really have anything really more I want to do. I'll just set it aside. So I have gone back to pieces, you know, time and time again. So I'm not quite sure they're ever really finished, but I've tried to resist kind of beating them to a finish.
Definitely. And what would you say is your most important artist tool, something you couldn't live without in your studio?
You know, it's probably the thing that is the, you know, the smallest piece, and that I mentioned before is my sketchbook.
Sketchbook.
I keep a couple of easels in my studio. The biggest pieces in my studio are really the easels and the canvases. But the most important thing for me is the sketchbook with the little thumbnail sketches, that whole kind of daily thing that I can refer back to when I have a new canvas and say, oh, here's something I should revisit, or this might make a painting.
Okay. So when you're going about starting a new work, is that booklet something you go to first?
It usually is, yes. In addition to that, as I mentioned, you know, for still lifes, I also, to be honest with you, I also have a box of, you know, kind of junk box of things that I've picked up along the way as well. So they, you know, I might pick up something that, oh, this is kind of a neat texture, a rusted doorknob or a hinge or something, for whatever reason, I might pick it aside. So there's also kind of a box of stuff as well. They might be the things that I pick out when I don't know what to do. I might sketch something for some reason that might make me think of something else. But yeah, so between the sketchbook and the box of stuff to throw up on the shelf, that's usually the first things I go to.
Could you describe like a real life situation that happened to you that inspired a piece of artwork that you did?
Yeah, there's a, you know, I mentioned the box of stuff or things I would draw. There's a painting I had done recently earlier this year. It's an old fossil. It's probably about 300 million years old or so that I found when I was a kid. Kind of an interesting shape. I had been drawing it, just sketching it for no reason other than just needed something, does something to do. The next day we were out picking up some flowers for a house we were visiting. And it just struck me that this particular flower had the exact same shape and pattern in it as this fossil that's 300 million years old. And it just struck me, this piece that was freshly cut, you know, they couldn't be any more different. And it just so happened I had something in my hand the day before. Next day, something was completely different, and yet they seemed to fit together nicely. It was just one of those things that, you know, for no other reason than, you know, I just happened to be looking at the day before, and it just set up a different kind of a still life for me.
Other than being an artist, throughout your life, what are some of the other jobs that you've done along your journey?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm coming back to I'm being an artist, you know, air quotes here. I went to art school. Yeah, I went to art school, you know, a long time ago. Trained traditionally, you know, as a traditional artist, illustrator. I freelanced for a number of years out of college doing illustration work, doing some paintings. And at that time, in advertising, you would do marker comps. This is going back a ways. You would do markers and do drawings of, instead of Photoshop, for, you know, ads and whatnot. I ended up going to advertising, working at an ad agency. I've worked at an ad agency for 20 years. So my career went from marker comps, went by the wayside with Photoshop. I got into design, a lot of digital manipulation, web design, doing application development. And only recently, and I got away from painting, and recently I really kind of got back to wanting to get my hands dirty a little bit. So I've really been painting quite a bit in the last, you know, quite a bit in the last 6 months or so. I really got back to it. So I'm still working in the advertising and marketing side, on the digital side, you know, application development. And in the evenings, that's how I'm spending my time, is get my hands dirty and painting again.
Very nice. What art websites would you say you visit the most often?
Oh boy, that's hard to say. You know, I really enjoy looking at the gallery, you know, a lot of the museum websites. But ironically, I think the thing that I find one of the most interesting for me is, and I've just gotten into this recently, believe it or not, is Instagram. Following other artists, being able to have that daily feed of people like myself, posting their artwork, posting sculptures, paintings, drawings, sketches, works in progress. Instagram, more than anything else for me recently, has just become this inspiration of seeing other people that are just making artwork. And I see it on a daily basis now, because in my feed, I'm seeing people at all levels, all professions, whether they're young students, professionals, world renowned, it doesn't really matter. It's a daily feed of people creating stuff. I find that really inspiring.
Yes, Instagram has really blown up over these past several years, and a lot of great inspiration there. Where do you go to find your calls for artists?
You know, again, online, the online tools are such a great resource. When I got out of school, there really wasn't that kind of a resource for people. If you weren't in a particular town or have a relationship with a gallery, you just didn't see it. Now, when I visited Eggers Gallery, you have a great resource, a great list on your website for the artist call sites. I visit quite a few of those myself. I found a couple of new ones on your website. But those artist call listings that you have on Eggers Gallery page is a fantastic resource.
Where have you said you had the best luck at selling your art?
For me, the sales have either been through a direct commission or through an exhibit.
Okay.
I might be a little bit different than some of the, in a different situation because I have another career as well. So I have the luxury of at least not focusing on, always focusing on the sale. I'm focusing a little bit more at this point of exhibits and not terribly worried about that. So my sales have really come from exhibits or somebody seeing a work online, seeing a work at an exhibit and asking for a commission.
Perfect. That sounds great. What would you say is your routine? You were saying that you mostly create in the evening. Do you have music playing? Give us a peek inside your studio. What's going on there?
I definitely have music playing. Music's playing all the time to the dismay of the rest of my family. When I paint, I am paint relatively quickly. So it's going to be the first two days on a painting are probably going to be 2 or 3 hours. I just kind of get into it, music going, and just kind of crank through it. I'll set that canvas aside. I generally have 2 paintings going at a time. I'll set that painting aside while I kind of go through a 2-day pass on my next canvas, and by that time I've had a chance to think about it a little bit. But what I did on the first canvas, I set that up, and that tends to be 2 or 3 more passes to wrap up that first canvas, but that's shorter. Those might be 1 hour, a 1 hour session, a couple 1 hour sessions, just kind of make that lighter wet on dry pass.
Nice. And when you listen to the music, what genre of music are you listening to?
Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place. But when I'm painting, generally, I like a little bit of blues, to be honest with you.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite brand of art supplies? Something that you use most often? You're always, if you don't find this at the art store, you got to go to the next art store because you're looking for a particular set of brushes or paints or what's your go-to brand?
No, I really don't. I wish I did. There are some really high-end brands that I like that I don't always find. But, the Old Holland brand, just really intense colors. But again, anything above a student grade, I'll hit. So I generally have Winsor Newton all the way through, Winsor Newton through, like, Old Holland is kind of where I am.
Nice. So for our last question here, what's the best tip you could give another artist?
I think for me or anybody, it's not worry so much about the end result. I used to worry a lot more about what the finished painting was going to be. It's like going on a road trip. You might be driving up north to the Cape, or you might be driving somewhere. But if you're so focused on that, you miss the drive. And for me, what I really realized that I miss is I miss the painting. I miss the process. So I try to enjoy the process of doing a painting. That every day, that 3 hours, that whatever I'm seeing in front of the canvas, and not worry so much about how the painting's going to turn out, but enjoy the process along the way. And I think that if you're enjoying yourself when you're doing it, that end result's going to be a lot more satisfying anyway. So stay a little bit more focused on what you're doing at the time, and don't worry so much about 3 or 4 days down the road. Just enjoy yourself. Got your tunes in the studio, whatever it is that makes you enjoy yourself. Enjoy the moment, and the end will kind of take care of itself.
That is perfect advice. Just focus on the work. I think everybody can agree with that. Well, Brian, we're coming to the end here of the interview. We'd like to thank you for your time and participating in the machinery theme here at the Eggers Gallery. This has just been an absolute pleasure.
It's been a pleasure for me as well, Michael. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate being included in the online exhibit. And thank you very much for your time and the opportunity.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, sir. You're very welcome, and we look forward to seeing what you're up to in the very near future as well.
Thank you. You have a great day. Thank you very much.
The Eggers Gallery would like to thank all the participating artists at the Machinery Show. Those include John Schlichter, K.A. Letts, Benji Ruckus-Pearson, Brian McClear, Bruce Howard, Matthew Bailey, and Matt Smith. For more information about these artists, you can go to eggersgallery.com. Thank you for joining us on our peek inside the artist studio.